Welcome to the new Cyber Frontier, bringing you the latest news on the local Colorado economy and initiatives that focus on the development of cybersecurity economics. You don't have to be a computer or cybersecurity expert to get plugged in. Your host, Chris Gorog, brings it straightforward, asks the tough questions, and brings the cyber world to a level of understanding for everyone. Chris is personable and opens up with our guests on the issues we all would like to see addressed. You can find us on the web at www.newcyberfrontier.com. Now join our host as he introduces the topic for today's New Cyber Frontier.
On the New Cyber Frontier, podcasting from the SecureSec campus here in Colorado Springs, it's my distinct pleasure to have with us in the studio Mr. Mark Heinrich. He is a, as he terms it, a cyber generalist, owns some domains and has a lot of influence at IC Squared, has an affiliation with IEEE, he's an engineer, a number of other things. Welcome, Mark.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
So tell us a little bit about your professional background that's kind of built the engineer and the cyber generalist that you are.
Sure. Well, I'm either a genius or schizophrenic. I actually started in sociology. I worked as a sociologist for about 8 months, got fired, said, fine, let's go do something else. But I had taken some programming courses, and I was a very good programmer. In fact, I was better than my colleagues and my boss, and was never going to earn what they were earning until I had a degree.
Sure.
So I went back, got a master's degree, worked in Silicon Valley for a while, and then being a smart fellow with a new family, realizing I couldn't afford a place out there, We moved out to Colorado Springs, which was going to become Silicon Mountain back in 86. Unfortunately, the powers that be backed all the wrong horses and the manufacturing went overseas.
Sure.
But I was able to get involved with some very interesting programs with MCI, with a VLSI team, and with, eventually, as happens, you end up in DoD here. So I got to work on some very interesting satellite situations where cybersecurity was a big issue. But I really hit home when I ended up doing system and cybersecurity on the F-35 for one of the programs. So that was my initiation into the cyber world, and it was fascinating. I ended up writing courses on secure trusted software development, and spending a lot of time, my team spent a lot of time resolving issues between the Air Force and the Navy on security. Our allies had no problem, we could work with them, but the Navy and the Air Force disagreed with each other just on principle.
That's understood, being a Navy vet myself. Chris is a veteran, so we understand having to lower our standards to interact with the Air Force. But it's funny to hear you talk sort of in a historical sense about the F-35, because most folks today, they see that as the new thing on the block, but this development path and cycle was a very long trail.
It very was. Something, if anybody's interested, Atlantic has an article called Uncle Sam Buys an Airplane.
Mm-hmm.
It's about 15 years old, but it explains why this is so different and why it was so radical.
Yeah.
So it's a very good one. But that was my introduction. And then from there, I got my CISSP. I started working, getting deeper and deeper into the dark side. And so what I have done the last couple of years, quite a bit of assessment, authentication, things like that. And now I'm into the modeling area. So it's been a really fun progression. I explain to people right now I'm the world's best paid graduate student because I get people to pay me for what I like to do.
Perfect. Love it. You hit on something, sort of that painful part of some of the downturns economically here in the Springs, and yet you also hit on sort of what's been the identity of the Springs, and I talk about this a lot, is that you can't sneeze without hitting everybody in the area that are somehow touching DoD.
Mm-hmm.
And what was your sort of experience and what's it been thus far working DoD here in the Springs?
Rough. Flexibility is the key issue. Sadly, you have to look at every job as a bridge job.
Mm.
You have contracts rolling over periodically. We just had a huge change out at Schriever. And so you have to understand that you are kind of like you're like a gunslinger. You get brought in or to do something, or an athlete. You have a certain set of skills that are wanted. Your job is to make sure you get the best deal for it, because sure, it's probably not going to last.
Fleeting, fleeting indeed. Let's take a quick break.
We'll be right back with the rest of today's show right after these brief messages from our sponsors. Cyber Resilience Institute helps build strong cyber communities designed to prevent members from attack. Like building a neighborhood watch, it takes coordination and a sharing community to protect our identities and valuables in the virtual world. Typically, we hear that organizations know they need to do something to protect their cyber assets, but don't know where to begin. Let Cyber Resilience Institute help your community create an action plan. Cyber Resilience Institute will build your community or business marketplace so that it is designed to support a collective cyber defense. Contact them for more information at cyberresilienceinstitute.org.
Here at Secure Set Academy here in Colorado Springs, we are podcasting on the new cyber frontier. My guest is Mr. Mark Heinrich, who's got a very diverse background, as we're learning now. And we were just talking about sort of the vagaries of living inside of the DoD space, particularly here in Colorado Springs. And there's both a positive and a negative there, I would presume. The negative is maybe some uncertainty, but the positive is the excitement of change and transformation and being on the cusp of things. And it's often something I'm trying to communicate to my students in terms of their move into the job market, is to not live in this career mentality in one job, but to be open to, you know, transformation. Maybe you'll promote, but it'll be in a different location, you know, although you'll progress through the industry and get more skilled. So how did that work for you?
Well, it was a lot easier after I had started off. Mm-hmm. My first job after I got my master's degree was 7 years with one company. Mm-hmm. That was really fabulous, but yeah, that was the longest I've ever worked for anybody, and it's been shorter. The one thing that I realized, that probably a little later than I should have, you have to have a plan. Yeah. What do I want to do? And once you have, Dwight Eisenhower had one of my favorite quotes, and he said, plans are nothing, but planning is everything. Mm, so yes, if I start thinking about, well, this is where I want to be, I could start moving toward it. Doesn't mean you were not going to change it over time, because really, who you are at 25 is not who you're going to be at 30 or 35. Every 5 years, you're going to be a very different person.
Hear, hear.
But you make your plans accordingly. So, okay, I really want to do this. You start working toward it. Well, maybe that doesn't work out, but at least you've made some positive steps.
Sure.
Then, as some other opportunities came up, I would like to point out this last job, the job that I currently have, the contract I was on, I was finishing up, and work out at Schriever. Mm-hmm. If you've been out at Schriever, you know the parking lots are several football fields in size.
Indeed.
And some of us park at the edge just to get some walking in,
yeah,
because we're going to spend the day in a vault. And I saw somebody I had met at socially a couple months before. We're just chit-chatting about the nice day and the walking, and what do you do? Well, I mentioned I was on a contract coming to an end, and I really enjoyed this part of it, in the modeling part, and was looking for another one. And he paused for a moment. He says, you know, I've got a position that I've been trying to fill for 3 months. Hmm. Now, mind you, I had resumes out all over town. I had recruiters, we're working with recruiters, the stuff that always worked in the past, but this is a case of simply being flexible and, oh, being open. So this was on a Wednesday. Monday I had an interview with the manager and the technical lead, and Tuesday I had an offer, and Wednesday I signed it and had a job.
Fabulous.
So it's a question of being open. On the other times, when that hasn't happened, I've had a dry spell. You get to be real good friends with recruiters,
mm-hmm,
and also professional organizations are really important.
Yeah.
Both
yeah,
IEEE and ISSA are organizations where you find out what's going on. And I recommend to recruiters, and certainly you guys know, just being there, you find out what's happening. Oh, gee, this contract's coming to an end. I need people. And to stay in touch with certain recruiters who actually have become professional friends over time,
sure,
because
sure,
they're neat people. And once I realized that I was the talent and these guys were simply trying to be my marketing and research arms and things like that. Oh, that made a wonderful difference.
Positively. Okay. They're not enemies, right?
Yeah, no, and you're in this together.
Yeah.
The best recruiter I had said, okay, this is the situation. This is how much they're paying. This is how much they're paying. This is the percentage I have to take to make a profit. How should we do this, the rest of this? Do you want it all flat corp to corp? Do you want benefits? Do you want holidays? The only thing I took in that case was W-2. Uncle IRS and I have had a few run-ins in the past, so I'll let them handle the tax side. But it was a fabulous pay, and in this particular case, the customer, how much overtime do you want to work? I didn't get overtime wages, but if I worked 60 hours a week, I got 60 hours of pay, which I did. My wife said she loved having that kind of a paycheck come in, but she was going to put my picture up in the refrigerator just so she knew who I was.
Who you were, sure.
But it was the right thing at the right time.
Yeah.
So again, the flexibility, being able to work with, in addition to having a technical background, understanding the technology, you have to have the soft skills, and you know this as businessmen.
Oh, critically.
Yeah. You have, and I teach at Colorado Tech once in a while, and I explain to my students that you can be the brightest engineer, you can have this incredible knowledge. If you can't communicate it, or if people don't want to hear it from you, you're dead.
Yeah.
You're just useless.
Yeah.
So you have to be able to talk with people. I'm very proud to see some of the students that we have that get involved with the in public activities and supporting different groups. And again, the professional organizations are. My wife has said if we ever get divorced, she will probably sue ISSA as a co-defendant just because I spent a lot of time there. But it's good people. It's necessary for my career.
Yeah.
So the flexibility and the soft skills are important. The problem that I see in our industry, and I'm sure you guys have seen it too, there is just such an explosive growth of knowledge.
Sure.
Okay, math has been around for a long time. Something new happens in math, we know where to put it. Something new happens in medicine, we've got a pretty good idea of where it fits in. Something new happens in the cyber world, we're still trying to figure out what happened 10 years ago and how it applies now. So it's a very chaotic sort of thing, and you have to be able to say, this is where you need your plan. What do I want to do?
Yeah.
And so, this interests me. And again, I would point out, Abe, and I think you're with us too, you want to have fun in your job.
Of course.
You want to, if success is getting somebody to pay you for doing what you like, I win.
Hear, hear.
I have many siblings, and some of them have been in jobs where they stayed in to get the pension. In the last 5 years of their work, they hated it.
Yeah.
I've never stayed in a job that long that I didn't like.
Sure.
Either I got fired or I fired myself or something happened. But it's been having a skill that's in demand, you can play those games.
And having that skill with the structure around it. I mean, you've hit on that quintessential concept of soft skills. And you know, we can be the, like you said, the smartest guy in the room, but if you can't articulate it, I mean, I remember working at NSA, you know, you'd venture down to the basement and you'd have to like get down on your hands and knees to look somebody in the eye because they'd be looking at their shoes but there's so much inside of that person that could really resonate and revolutionize our industry. And so, you know, you hit on that critical to what we teach our students here. The other piece is, just the soft skill in general. Are they able to help decision makers? Are they able to communicate? Those types of things. So
let me add one more thing in there, and that is salesmanship.
Yep.
You have to understand in this business, you know, where my father worked for the same company, had the same position for almost 40 years. Yeah. Now he got bought by different companies and you know, just accrued seniority and everything else. That's not happening anymore.
Right.
And so what you have to do is be able to sell yourself. And that comes back to the old, okay, who am I? What do I want to do?
Yeah.
And, you know, I may think of myself as, you know, pretty negative terms, but by golly, I'm going to let everybody else know that I'm the hottest thing, you know, this side of a sliced bread. And you have to be able to sell yourself.
Yeah.
And this is an openness. And this is something like a lot of people that went into engineering don't understand.
No, not at all.
Not at all. When I got my degree, when I was working way back when, you know, some company was going to take care of you and you would be, it doesn't happen.
No,
you
no.
are, you know, you tend to go contract to contract. There are some people that will be, and I don't even know if it's fortunate to be in a situation like that where
sure.
you just have, you know, one corporate entity to work with throughout
yeah.
your life.
Some would say that's stability, but, you know, mom's no longer with us to be our biggest fan or our greatest
mm-hmm.
advocate. And so our greatest advocate's going to be ourselves. And,
exactly.
And you hit on networking. I go over and over and over on that. Colorado Springs in particular, we're a relational city,
yeah.
right? It's who you know. Mm-hmm. And that's proven time and time
yes,
and time again.
Yes, it is. Proven who you know, who trusts you.
Yeah.
And that's the other part, is if you get a reputation as, you know, if you learn to step on toes, if you get by get ahead by stepping on toes, you're going to find you don't have a lot of friends.
And it only lasts for so long.
Only lasts for so long. And you mentioned, you know, sneezing, hitting somebody. The information, the cybersecurity community is not that big.
No.
And one of the greatest stories I had is I interviewed with some guy for a position. Didn't get it, but it was, you know, it was a good interview. 4 years later, he's interviewing for a position in my group.
Yes, if you know, you got to take care of folks. Let's quickly go and listen.
Over 3 million data breaches happen every single day. That's over 2,000 records being compromised every minute. So often, we focus on securing web data access. But what if the attackers are already inside, having gained direct access to your storage through data management software? When it comes to communications that go directly into your storage devices, make SNIA your first line of protection. SNIA's conformance testing limits outdated communications that are known to be used by attackers. It works continuously behind the background to make sure your storage is protected. To find out if your data is truly secure, visit our website at www.snia.org/cybertest.
New Cyber Frontier. We're podcasting from Securset Academy here in Colorado Springs. My special guest here on New Cyber Frontier is Mr. Mark Heinrich. We were just talking about this, the reality of, you know, it's who you know, and, you know, treating everyone with dignity. You know, I often will tell my students, when you're going into a job interview, you treat that receptionist with such dignity,
mm-hmm.
because that receptionist could be the gatekeeper that allows you that access. But you know, there's something to having the soft skills and the value in people, and that really resonated with me. If you wanted to continue on that.
Yeah, one of the things that I would, one of the best courses I got when I was being outplaced was how to be a consultant.
Yeah.
And we talked about being your own business. A lot of the time, if you look at yourself as the consultant, the person who's going to go in, because why are you getting hired? You're solving a problem.
Yep.
I'm not going to put money out on the market. I'm not going to spend time to bring somebody in out of the goodness of my heart as a manager. I've got a problem. So when you put that mental, that hat on, oh, I'm going to be your problem solver. One, it helps you focus.
Oh, sure.
And two, you have a better chance, because if I, you know, I think of it from the manager's point of view, if I'm looking at somebody who's, you know, expecting me to take care of him or her, as opposed to someone that's coming in to help me, whose attitude do I want?
Sure.
Who do I want to deal with? So that's a lot of the part of the soft skill. And what you said about treating everybody with respect, guys, let me tell you, when you're dating somebody, how you treat the waitress in the restaurant is going to have a lot to do with what she thinks of you. And
certainly.
And that's just kind of true in life.
Yeah.
So we want to have that, but also we talk about maybe branding yourself. What do you do? What do you know?
Mm-hmm.
And you said, who do you know? And mm-hmm. who you know in a technical sense. So for the fact that one of the best things I have going for me is groups like ISSA.
Oh, absolutely.
Because it does two things. One, I get to hang with some very, very smart people. And two, I'm doing something for others. I'm
sure.
VP of training for ISSA.
Right.
So right now we are running our CISSP exam review 5 Saturdays for people who need to take the CISSP. And like it or not, certification is one of the few things that is guaranteed.
Yeah.
A lot of people complain about it. Well, it's just book knowledge. Well, Yeah, it is, but the tests have evolved to where you have to have a lot of practical experience.
Sure.
Now,
our CEO will say of the certifications in his sort of triad of employability, he'll say they're essential but not sufficient.
Yes.
So you got to have them, but they're not everything.
Yeah. Right? You have to have proof that you did, because you can go, oh yeah, I have a degree in this. Well, where did you go? Mm-hmm. Some schools have a good reputation. Some schools. It was Lloyd's Bait Shop and Graduate School in Computer Security. So you have to look at that. So you want to be involved in the profession in different ways.
Sure.
ISSA, IEEE are very good.
Sure.
You mentioned ISC Square. That's kind of the mothership of the certifications. And again, they're all groups of people who are involved in that. That does two things. One, it keeps you up to date.
Yeah.
And two, you know what's going on.
Yeah.
If I'm at the point where I need to hire somebody, where am I going to look first? I'm going to look where I know.
Yeah.
I teach at Colorado Tech once in a while, so I keep an eye on students. So, I need somebody. Hey, once you're not in my class. If you're in my class, no. But once you're out of my class, I will talk about, hey, here's some place that you might want to go.
ISSA, for instance, we here in Colorado Springs is the second largest chapter in the world, and I'm telling you, out there in Denver, you're on notice. We're coming after you because they've got the largest chapter and very proud. It's always been just a great resource for me in terms of instructors and whatnot. In fact, when I'm making a hiring decision, we talked about it's who you know. What network are you bringing with you? And that's tremendously important. And sort of speaking of ISC Squared, obviously you're a humble man, but you're quite learned and you're quite a luminary. In fact, in the ISC Squared, you have a great influence on several domains. Can you talk about some of the main domains where your fingerprint is clear?
Well, it's now part of system architecture, but cryptography was. I took that over because when I was getting my CISSP, the guy helping us review didn't like the topic. He was bored. It was horrible. Mm. And I said, I can do better than that.
Sure.
So I took it over and freshened it up quite a bit. Again, the technology is changing. And what was true 10 years ago is not true now. Like SHA-256 10 years ago was pretty much regarded as, that's safe. It's not anymore. We're now on SHA-3. What does that mean? What are the differences? So when I, as a tech professional, am talking to somebody who doesn't understand it, that I can explain it in their terms. And I have this great opportunity. My wife is the ultimate liberal arts major. So if I've got something coming up, I try to explain it to her. And sometimes she gets it, and sometimes she looks at me as though, why don't you go back to your planet, honey? But the idea is you have to be able to translate things in different ways.
Yeah.
So understanding what's happening in cryptography. Mm-hmm. If you are in this business and you don't understand, if you don't know what elliptic curve cryptography is at this point,
you're behind.
you're behind. And the same thing with where are we going in the, what's happening with quantum cryptography? This has the potential of really upending the world as we know it.
Yeah.
And what does that mean? Blockchain, what Chris Gorog and a few others are working on.
It's actually his middle name.
Yes, we know that. but this has such tremendous social possibilities. And if we could save $100 million in our state budget, as a taxpayer, my gosh, I'm grown up, I'm paying taxes, I worry about that now. That's a wonderful thing. So these are all part of an, as you use the term ecosystem, and I think that's the right one. Because we are part of this, and we don't the era of the solitary tech professional kicking stuff out in his or her garage. Mm-mm. It's the anomaly.
Yeah.
You might as well buy a lottery ticket. So what it is, you're working. It's teamwork. It's trying to harness this huge pile of knowledge.
Yeah.
This explosion of information, putting it to work for you. I mean, everybody listens to the same radio station, WIFM. What's in it for me? And so how do I take my interests, my gifts, and the world around me and do something worthwhile with it.
Yeah, and maybe, you know, shift over to WIFO, what's also in it for others, you know?
Yeah.
And it really, I'm a huge believer in the cybersecurity industry, especially being this weird sort of extrovert among cybersecurity professionals, in this idea of community. Building community. Community is essential here in the Springs, and it's essential to getting this job done. It's not this dog eat dog that's going to work. It's this, let's solve this together. I mean, even you talked about blockchain. Mm-hmm. Is this? It's got to be a multifaceted, multiple people involved in implementing a solution mm-hmm. like that. And I strongly believe in that. So in terms of sort of the major hurdle that we have yet to conquer, what do you see out there, and what do you want to see done about it?
Well, the major hurdle, I think, is education.
Yeah.
Now, we are blessed because it has some very serious consequences, particularly in terms of our utilities. Mm-hmm. Okay, we are blessed in Colorado Springs. Colorado Springs Utilities has this incredible army
yes.
of expert professionals, and according to what I've heard from other experts, we have a good system in place. Okay. How about other places? Denver, I think, is in good shape too. But
sure.
other cities like Pueblo and you know the places that aren't as big, that don't have this reservoir of talent, and that don't understand what can happen.
Yeah.
I'll tell you my personal belief: the next conflict, the kinetic stuff like the rockets and the bombs and the guns, is going to be the little part. The big part is going to be the cyber part.
Well, it's very clear in the military, because we mm-hmm. now have a 4-star commander, the U.S. cyber commander, actually mm-hmm. an old Navy buddy of mine, Mike Rogers. He sits at the table with the pilots and everybody else. He is now a warfighter.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, my old discipline, I was a cryptologist by trade. It's now called cryptologic warfare
yeah.
as
mm-hmm.
opposed to an enabling discipline. So.
Yeah. So we have this maybe not so brave new world coming out, mm-hmm. coming out, and as intelligent, you know, we now assume reading and writing, you know, literacy is a fundamental component. Mm-hmm. Numeracy, being able to, you know, add, subtract, handle a checkbook,
yes.
is a core skill, just like driving a car. Well, we know how to drive a car safely. We got to learn how to drive a computer safely.
Yeah.
One of the talks I gave for Pilar, Lifelong Learning Institute, mm-hmm. was the Smart PC Owner's Guide to Cybersecurity.
Excellent.
And the analogy I used was the highway. Okay, you drive I-25, you've got other people driving, you know, vehicles capable of smashing into each other and, you know, hundreds of joules of force capable of crushing you. Why do you still drive your car? Well, you have good tires, you know what you're doing, we have an enforcement system, and so, yes, the most dangerous thing I do is drive Highway 94 out to Schriever every
yeah.
day, but it's okay.
Yeah,
I'm not worried about it because I'm taking all the right precautions. People have to understand the same thing using their computers.
Yeah.
You're going out on the information highway. And just as you better have good brakes and good tires on your car, you better have a good firewall and a good antivirus. So you put it in that context, it's not so scary.
Sure.
And just as I know not to drive fast on bumpy roads or through construction sites, there are places on the internet you avoid driving.
Yeah, positively. That also has different pockets when it comes to age and these other things. You know, I've heard from a lot of folks, and I've actually participated with Fox 21 in their CyberSafe Parent mm-hmm. Segment, and so I appreciate that. You know, I've really enjoyed too, Mark, your awareness and your experience that is indicated that in the cyber discipline, expect transformation and change. Expect to work in different places.
No, you're absolutely right.
Be prepared for that. And really, we have to change a paradigm, because I think a lot of folks will associate their identity with their job.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And if you're not prepared for that, it can be quite a blow, I would imagine, especially for those who are near and dear to me as the veterans out there that are used to the stability of one job. If you're coming into this industry, just be prepared for transformation, change.
Exactly.
But with that comes excitement. And it's mm-hmm. been clear with you. I mean, you've touched the space industry and the F-35. Mm-hmm. I'm sure they've got one named after you somewhere. definitely a great heart. What last words might you say to a budding young cybersecurity professional that's getting ready to go into this?
Or somebody that's transitioning in,
yep.
you are going into a very exciting time.
Yeah.
This is, in a lot of ways, it's like going, when I went to, I had the privilege of going to the University of California at San Diego.
Yeah.
And one of the deans is saying, okay, you are privileged to be here. Think of this as Disneyland for the mind, mm-hmm. because that was the biggest back then.
Sure.
But go on every ride. Make sure you experience as much as you can.
Neat.
And take what you can away from it. So I think that's something to look at now. Is in this business, you've got so many opportunities. Figure out what you want to do.
Sure.
Okay. So when I go to amusement parks, the first thing I do is all the roller coasters because I love roller coasters.
Naturally.
So find the roller coasters in this industry that appeal to you, and move toward them.
Sure.
Now you won't get there tomorrow, but you'll get closer tomorrow, and closer the day after that, and suddenly you'll find yourself where, wow, I'm being paid to have fun.
Yeah.
You do that, you win.
So we have, here in Colorado, to translate the amusement park analogy, you know, you're looking at the Rockies. Well, where do you start? We'll start by conquering those, 50-some 14ers, right?
Yeah.
And they've all got a beautiful vista and a different view. Mark, it's been a privilege. You're truly an asset to our community and to our discipline. I appreciate your work with ISSA. I'm a member as well. And I can't say enough about what they've meant to my students and sort of the development of the next big thing. And ISC Squared and IEEE and all of these associations and standards that are out there have really changed even the face of the discipline in the nearly three decades I've been involved myself. So it's been a pleasure. Thank you, Mark.
Well, thank you. It's been wonderful.
Indeed. This is Abe Thompson. We are podcasting from the SecureSet campus in Colorado Springs on the new Cyber Frontier. I've been your host on this journey through the cybersecurity industry.
The views or opinions expressed during this podcast are not those of Colorado Technical University.
Enjoyed this episode of New Cyber Frontier. Remember to get involved. Often we think that someone else will handle privacy and security in the virtual world, but you are the only one truly in command of your virtual fate. Join our mailing list so we can keep you informed of breaking news and new releases. If you have an idea, if you have a question that you would like to hear answered, or if you want to get involved with our efforts, reach out to us at newcyberfrontier.com. We also encourage you to visit our sponsors' links, as they are the ones that really make this show possible. I want to thank each of you for supporting the show, and we look forward to seeing you back for the next episode of New Cyber Frontier.